know, Brother Fred just got me really excited. I can't get enough of this book right here. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. Just this past weekend, I had the opportunity to be in Mississippi preaching Friday and Saturday to students. And yesterday afternoon, the whole message was all about, do you realize the value that you have in your hand? The breath of the living God. And last night, as we continued to share and continue to walk with them about the Word of God and explain to them the importance of listening to God and obeying what God is saying, there was so much brokenness as the Holy Spirit was just moving in a mighty, mighty way. Let me tell you something. This word right here has a promise. It will not come back void. Amen? My words, they're going to come back void. I'm just going to tell you. That's why my life verse is that my preaching and teaching are not from my words. They're not persuasive words of wisdom, but it's the demonstration of the power. My teaching is on this, the Word of God, because I know that it will stand forever. Listen, I've only been around 34 years, and I have watched the culture change for 34 years. People who have tried to stand on the culture have had to also change for 34 years. But this right here, over the past 34 years of my short life, it's still the same. Jesus saves. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all, it is a joy. I'm excited today. We're going to be in the Old Testament in Nehemiah. Before we do, I want to give you a report. I want to share with you. In October, I share with you the mission and the vision. Our mission is Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then it says in Acts 1:8, you'll be my witnesses, and that he's called us all throughout the world. We shared with you that our vision is to help people know Christ intimately, to grow in Christ daily, to show Christ through our actions, and to go for Christ throughout the world. That's our vision here at Luke 4:18. That's what we're committed to through the Word of God is know, grow, show, and go. And in sharing that vision with us, I told you that we are in the process of we've been praying over, and we believe we need more space in order for us to continue to know, grow, show, and go at the capacity that God's called us to. And so we began on November 4th bringing in and giving to the Joshua offering to pay off our debt. I want to just give you a report that as of this week, we have written a check to the loan for over $300,000. Amen? We now owe $1,289,000. But before that, it was 1.6 and north of that. Is that not just amazing what God has done through the lives of the people that he has blessed us to be able to give in order for us to continue to push forward in the vision that he's given us? And so continue to pray. Our prayer is by May that it's all paid off. Over $300,000 since November 4th that's gone to pay on this debt. And I am so excited of what God is doing. So we rejoice in that. Last week, our pastor, Brother Fred, shared with us that God was calling Luke 4:18 to a corporate fast in the month of February. I believe it's February 3rd for 21 days. That brings you to the 3 weeks later on that Saturday. And last week, Brother Fred taught us an overview of fasting. He gave us a 40,000-foot approach. He talked about the need and the desire to fast and to pray. And today, as Brother Fred and I have talked over the past week and really over the last couple weeks, I'm going to share and teach on the practical of fasting. We're going to come down to about a 1,000-foot view of fasting. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I love Nehemiah. I love the Old Testament. I love the whole Scripture. I tell you all the time, this is my favorite verse. It's like from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. It's my favorite verse. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse, we'll start with 3. It says, they said to me, the remnants there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and I wept, mourned for days, and as I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now, I want you, if you feel comfortable in your Bible, and I hope you do, to underline the fact that he wept, he mourned, and he fasted and prayed. Here's what he says in his prayer. Verse 5 through 11. I'm going to read this and then we're going to walk through it today. He said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness of those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night. On behalf of the sons of Israel, your servant, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you, I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances, which you command your servant Moses. Remember the word you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote parts of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servants, or to your servant, and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servant successful today, and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was the cupbearer of the king. What an incredible prayer by Nehemiah. But let me just start by asking you this question. Why was Nehemiah mourning, weeping, fasting, and praying? What was the news that he had gotten? The news that he received in verse 3, and the reason why, was because ultimately the walls had been torn down in Jerusalem. Many of you remember that Nehemiah is ultimately the one who gets a decree from the king, and he goes to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But I want you to understand that it wasn't just that the walls were torn down that Nehemiah was weeping. See, Nehemiah understood the Pentateuch. He understood the Old Testament. He understood the first five books of the Bible. And see, he realized that the reason that the walls were torn down was because of the state of Israel. He realized that the reason that Jerusalem had been destroyed in some sense, had the walls had been torn, and that they were in exile, was because of the state that Israel was in their disobedience before God. See, it goes a whole lot bigger and deeper than just the fact that the walls were torn down. It was the fact that the nation of Israel was in rebellion, or had been in rebellion against God. Nehemiah was broken. He was broken over the sins of the nation. He was broken that the nation of God had continued to disobey and walk in disobedience. We know this because in verse 8, he says this. He says, remember the word which you command your servant Moses, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people. He's quoting in verse 8, he's quoting Leviticus 26, verses 27 and verse 33. It says, yet in spite of this, you do not obey me, but act hostility against me. And then in verse 33, it says this, you, however, I will scatter you among the nations and will draw out a sword after you, and your land becomes desolate and your cities will become waste. See, Nehemiah understood the Old Testament. He understood in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus and Exodus, where Moses was speaking and saying, God has said that if you walk in obedience, God will bless you. But if you walk in disobedience, you'll be scattered. So here he is. He begins to mourn. He begins to weep over his nation and the sin of his nation. Let me ask you this question. As our pastor has called us to a time of fasting, what's our purpose? What's our why? You know, our pastor has shared with us that we are praying and seeking that revival will take place in this nation. But we have to get to a place where, like Nehemiah, we were broken over the state of this place, over the state of the nation, and where it is. See, there's two other examples. There's many other examples in the scripture about fasting. We actually printed you out a sheet that's in your bulletin, and it gives you many different locations about fasting, and it doesn't give you the answers so that you can go get in the Word and you can write those answers. But two of those I want to talk about quickly. In the book of Jonah, Jonah goes to Nineveh, and he shares the gospel. He tells them, he says, you need to repent, you need to turn. And ultimately, after he finally, through his disobedience, and then he's swallowed in a great fish, and then he's regurgitated back up, very interesting story, and then he goes over to Nineveh, and he proclaims all that God has spoken. And what does the king of Nineveh say? He says, then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloths from the greatest to the least of them. What they were doing was they began to mourn over the state of their nation. They began to weep over where their nation was. And they believed that if we would fast and pray and mourn, that God may relent from what he had claimed was about to take place. The king of Nineveh, man, he's broken over the state of the nation. And so he calls a fast. And he calls for weeping and mourning. In the book of Joel, many of y'all may remember me preaching this in 2016, 40 days leading up to an election that we had about calling the church to a time of fasting. And we blew the shofar. In Joel chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, gird yourself with sackcloth and lament, O priest, wail, O ministers. Listen, here's what happened. Right before that, it talks about the locust who has come and destroyed the place. And Joel saying, hey, listen, we must mourn because our nation is in disarray. Like the state of the nation, we must fall on our face. We must mourn. We must be in a place of brokenness. And we must fast before the Lord. Almost every time in the scripture when I look at a proper fast, I see mourning. I see brokenness in their lives. But let me just tell you, Nehemiah wasn't just broken over the nation of Israel. Nehemiah was not like, God, we're going to pray for the nation of Israel. We're just going to pray for them. No, Nehemiah, as you see in verse 6 and 7, he says, God, I confess the sins of the nation. But then he says, Lord, I confess my sin. He says, I and my father's house have sinned. How often do we say, man, we want revival to take place. Oh, we're broken over all this. We want revival to happen so that people will change. And God's saying, David Bullock, are you going to start with you? Is it going to start in your life? Is there going to be brokenness in your life? Repentance of sin in your life? Don't come and just ask for other people to experience God if you don't want to experience me yourself. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like as if I was sick. Man, I came down with some disease. You just name it. And I needed to go to the doctor. But instead, I went up to my wife and I said, now, Leslie, I love you. I'm sick. I'm going to take you to the doctor. So we go to the doctor. And I say, Doc, you need to check up on my wife. See how she's doing. Is she okay? Okay, thanks for the report. And we leave. That makes no sense. No. We must, listen, Luke 4:18. We must start right here with us. It makes no sense for me to take somebody else to the doctor when I'm the one who needs to go before the Lord and say, search me and know me and show me any evil way about me. What did Paul say? He said, oh, what a wretched man that I am. Last night, at a Disciple Now in Mississippi, as the gospel was presented, as the students heard the breath of the living God, they didn't hear me, they heard the breath of God afterwards. Man, there was brokenness all over the room. I didn't leave till way past the time that I thought that I would leave. Can you tell I'm tired? I didn't leave till way after the time, that was a joke, till way after the time that I was planning on leaving, because I went and just knelt down next to this young man who was so broken. And listen, this guy's been running for Jesus. And he was broken. He said, I just want more boldness. God, just give me more boldness. And I'm sitting here like just crying with this guy thinking, man, can we as a body of believers get to a place where we say, God, we have not obtained it. We press on to the upper calling. As Paul says in Philippians 3, God, give us more of you, oh God. Give us more of you. And God's saying, how many of you want more of God? And everybody's raising their hand and God's saying, well, how many of you are willing to give more of yourself? I sat there with that student and just watched just the brokenness of the Holy Spirit just falling all over that young man. And he was running for the Lord. And my question to us is, will we get to a place of brokenness? We see in the scripture that with fasting comes mourning. It comes brokenness. It comes weeping. It comes prayer. Let me show you a couple things fasting's not. We see in the scripture in Isaiah 58, verses 2 through 4, but it's really the whole chapter. It talks about this, but it says, you come with wrong motives. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinances of their God. And they ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. In verse 3, it says, Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day you fast it, you find your desire and you drive hard all your workers. He says your motives were so impure. What's the purpose of your fast? It's not for you to diet. It's not for you like, oh, I've heard people, and Brother Fred shared this last week, I've heard people so many times, and it's because fasting is not preached about that often, but I heard people, you know, I think I'm going to fast because I need to lose a little weight. Or I think I'm going to fast, and I don't really know why. I just think I'm going to do this like because somebody told me I need to. Just last night, true story, I was telling somebody that I was headed back to Luke 4:18 and I was going to be preaching on fasting today. And their comment was, well what sources are you going to use? I said, the Bible? I wasn't trying to be sarcastic. And right after I said it, I was like, I ain't got nothing else. I was like, I'm not going to give a man's opinion. I'm going to go to the Word. And so here we have it. We see in the scripture, is your motives or are motives proper before God? It can't be that, hey, God, I want to prove to you that I'm spiritual. That's called pride. Lord, let me show you how spiritual I am. I'm going to go this many days without food. Can I be honest with you? Many of y'all are like, well, don't lie to me. Can I be honest and just tell you that when the Lord convicted me, and began to show me that fasting needs to be a part of my life. You know, in the first church, when they translated the word prayer, they translated prayer and fasting. It went hand in hand. Today, we separate the two for some reason. But in my own life, when the Lord put on my heart that fasting needs to be a part of my life, I'll just be 100% honest with you. My first instinct was, okay, Lord, I'm going to show you that I can make it through a fast. Because I didn't understand. I mean, this is years ago when I was trying, in my own personal under, I was trying to chew on it. And real quickly, praise God for the Word of God. It washes over you. Woo, and it'll put you on your face. Amen. And the Lord real quickly said, David, why are you trying to be super spiritual? You know, the blood of the Lamb has washed you white as snow. It ain't nothing that you're doing. And I got to a place where I began to truly experience and hear from God, because I removed a super spiritual look at me, God, I can do this type of fast, to a biblical brokenness before our God. See, in Isaiah, it's not about just having motives to say, hey, look at all I've done. And it's not obligation. It's not out of tradition. If you go to Zechariah chapter 7, 3 and 5, he says, speaking to the priest who belonged to the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophet, saying, shall I weep in the fifth month and abstain, as I have done for these many years? He said, hey, should I just do it again? Say to all these people of the land, to the priest, when you fast and mourn in the fifth and seventh month, these 70 years, was it actually for me that you fasted? He's saying in this moment, he's saying, listen, are you just fasting out of obligation? Listen, nobody in this room needs to fast simply because one of us told you to fast. Now, as the Lord is telling us and asking and calling us to a corporate fast, yes, I understand that we're going to have a 21 days of focus on fasting, but God must speak to you. We can't just say, oh, well, I feel guilty. If I don't fast, then I'm not, what's wrong with me? We can't say, well, somebody told me I had to fast. Listen, God is calling us in the Scriptures for fasting to be part of our life. For it to be part of our daily worship. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to fast from now until the time that you go to see Jesus. But I'm just saying that fasting is such a foreign thing to so many people in the church. And it doesn't need to be foreign anymore. But it can't be out of obligation. It can't be out of just simply a tradition. We have something coming up that's tradition, where people give away something and don't even know why they're laying it down. It's out of tradition. We must get to a place of a heart of brokenness and understand that the reason that we're fasting is, one, because God didn't say if you fast, He said when you fast. And that our heart is broken before God, saying, Lord, oh, what a wretched man that I am. Oh, God, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, we must lay aside the things that we hunger for to feast on the Word of God. We must lay aside the things that we long for in our life to feast on the breath of the living God. So we see that the reason, the purpose, that what was bringing Nehemiah to a place of fasting and prayer and mourning was over the state of Israel and over his own personal state. And let me just stop here and say this for a moment, because I don't want to assume that every person in this room knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But Nehemiah is realizing, he says, hey, that he realizes that he and his nation has walked in sin. And every one of us is born with a sin nature. I've shared with you over and over, I don't have to teach my son how to hit his sister. I don't have to teach my daughter how to be bad. We're born with a sin nature. In Romans chapter 5, it tells us that through one man, sin entered the whole world. Because of what happened in Genesis chapter 3 and the fall of man. But listen, it says that the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Without Jesus, we are destined to death and to hell. But praise God that Jesus sent his son, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come to give you life abundantly. He said, I am sending Jesus, my son, that he would die on the cross and pay the price of sin for you. And that's why it says the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Listen, today as I'm talking about fasting, as I'm walking through fasting, listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've not laid your life down and said, God, I'm accepting the sacrifice that has been paid for me, then you're not going to understand what fasting is all about, because we're at a place of brokenness over the fact that without God we are nothing. And until you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to continue to say, without God, I'm still okay. But see, in fasting and prayer and mourning, we're saying, God, I am a wretched person without you, but praise God for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you so much for salvation. Thank you so much for going to the cross for me. My favorite verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, Christ demonstrated his love for us, that though I was a sinner, he died for me. And let me tell you, that verse goes for every one of you in this place. That Christ loves you that much that he sent Jesus to die that you may have life. So what does Nehemiah do? We see that he fasts. We see that he's praying and mourning. But here's what he does. He prays and stays in the Word. He prays and stays in the Word. When you are truly fasting, If you are removing something in your life, and let's say it's lunch, let's say it's all day, you know, if you are removing a food or something in your life, but you're not replacing it with reading the word and prayer, then all you're doing is depriving yourself. That's all you're doing. And to be honest with you, unless you're doing that for health reasons, it just doesn't make sense. God has not told us to deprive ourselves of something and then just add another extra 3-4 hours to the workday. God hasn't said, well, don't eat lunch. No, and then just add a few more things that you needed to get done at work. No, he's telling us that when we are removing this in our life, it is to feast on the breath of the living God, the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but what? On the Word, on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. We must replace with this. So if somebody's fasting lunch, if the Lord has called you to fast lunch for 5 days, well, then during that lunch period, you need to go and get in a quiet place, and you've got to get on your knees and cry out to God and study His Word. See, we're depriving one area in order for us to continue to feast on the breath of God, for Him to be our dependency. Too often I hear people say, hey, I'm fasting and I just got to get through this fast. And I'm like, well, then you've missed it. If you just got to get through it, then you're not replacing it with the Word and delighting yourself in the Word of God. Like delighting yourself. It says, taste and see, for He is good, Psalms 34. Are we truly tasting and seeing that He is good? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are we replacing it with the Word of God in prayer? Man, let me tell you something. Nehemiah, we see a prayer from verse 5 through verse 11. And you know what he does? He is quoting Scripture all throughout this prayer. You may not realize it, but he is quoting the Pentateuch all throughout this prayer. So let's look at that prayer for a second. First, in verse 5, it says, I beseech you, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God. He acknowledges who God is. He starts by just acknowledging who God is. In Deuteronomy 7:21, it says that He is the great and awesome God. He's quoting Deuteronomy 7. For the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. He is acknowledging that He is God and we are not. He's acknowledging that He's under the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we are fasting and praying, we need to start by acknowledging who God is. That's what he says in the Lord's Prayer. He says, hallowed be your name. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Do we start our prayer by saying, Lord, it's all about you. Let's acknowledge who you are. There's certain verses that I like to quote when I start praying, simply to acknowledge that he is God. And then he says that the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandment. He's quoting Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. He says he'll take care of those who continue to keep his commandment. In chapter Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6, it says, you shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And then go to verse 6. It says in verse 6, it says, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Is that not what we just read in Nehemiah? He's quoting the book of Exodus. And then he goes into verse 6 and 7, and he asks the Lord to hear his cry, and he confesses. How often? He says in verse 6 and 7, day and night. Verse 6, it says, I am praying before you now day and night on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel which have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. He says, hear me, O God. Hear my cry. And Lord, I confess the sins of the nation. Remember, that's what he's broken. That's what he's mourning over. He's saying what we talked about 2 weeks ago. Y'all remember Shema? Shema means listen and obey, right? If you're listening, you're obeying. He's confessing that the nation of Israel did not Shema. They didn't. They didn't listen. They didn't obey what he said. And so God was just in scattering them. So he confesses the sins of the nation. He confesses his sin. Then he stands on the word of God in verse 8 through 10. And he says, remember the word which you commanded. God, remember your word that you spoke? He says in verse 8, he says, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people. He's quoting Deuteronomy 30, verses 2 and 4. And what's interesting about this is that in him quoting this, in him saying this, he's telling God, hey, I just want to listen, you are just. You're just. You're a just God. And you scattering the people was very just. You told us. You told us. But then he goes into verse 9, he says, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, then he says, I'll bring you all back. And that's what he's quoting out of Deuteronomy 32 and 4. He says, hey God, you're just in scattering us, but praise God that the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 30 that if we return to you, that you'll return us together. It says in chapter 30, verse 2 of Deuteronomy, and you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and soul, and according to all I've commanded you today, you and your sons. It says in verse 3, it says, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you, will gather you again from all the people where the Lord your God has scattered. How beautiful is this, that Nehemiah is mourning over his sin, over the nation. He's broken. He's removed the food from his life. He's crying out to God, and he prays, and he's literally praying scripture over and over and over. So he's acknowledged God. He's confessed to God. He's stood on the word of God. And then guess what the last thing he does? In verse 11, he makes his request to God. Now, let me just be real. How many of us got that all backwards? First thing we say, God, I got a request. Hey, Lord, I know that I'm fasting and praying and weeping, but Lord, here's what I need. Here's what's going on, God. Just look at the example of Nehemiah. He acknowledges who God is. He says, hear my cry, O God. I confess the sins of the United States of America. I confess my sins, David Bullock, and my household, O God. Now, Lord, you promised that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And now, Lord, I am making this request before you. That's the cry of Nehemiah. So then he makes that cry. Out of brokenness, out of repentance, he says, God, give me favor. But this is what I love. Look at the very last part of verse 11. He says, grant me compassion before what? This man. He's talking about the king. But he calls him this man. Why does he call him this man? I don't think it's disrespectful. But see, he realizes that the king that he's going before is under the authority of the King of Kings. See, in him saying, grant me favor before this man, this mortal man, God, hey, you have authority over him. He is a man under authority, whether he realizes it or not. How often do we pray like that? God, you have all authority. Man, I beseech you, oh God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there's none like you and nobody has authority over you. Grant me favor before this man. That's what Nehemiah does. And what does God do? You don't have to flip over, but in Nehemiah chapter 2 and on, he goes before the king. The king says, what's wrong? Nehemiah tells him. The king makes a decree for him to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Can I just tell you that if you go back and don't flip there today, we'll chase this rabbit another day, but if you go back to Daniel chapter 9, the 70-week prophecy, it says there's going to be a decree to rebuild Jerusalem. Oh, it just happened in Nehemiah chapter 2. Oh, prophecy being fulfilled. So here we see Nehemiah broken over the nation, broken over his sin, fasting and praying, and then going before the Lord, acknowledging him, confessing to him, standing on the word, and then requesting. So what are we to do? What are we to do? What's the why in our life, y'all? I personally fast for two reasons. One is whenever I need a breakthrough in some area or I'm praying for breakthrough in somebody's life. When there's something in my life that I need breakthrough of, or I'm praying for breakthrough in somebody's life. That can be for salvation. That can be for many different things, whether they're straying from the Lord, many different things. Brother Fred has even mentioned last week, he said, you know, what is the Lord, what is something that you've been crying out to God for a long time that you've not seen breakthrough in? But the other reason that I fast is because the scripture, there's times that I need godly wisdom. I always need godly wisdom every day. I pray for it all the time. Lord, give me godly wisdom. But there are some times that I have to make a major decision. A major decision. Those decisions can be as major as bringing a staff member on Luke 4:18. Major decisions for me when I'm seeking that and I want to make sure that I'm hearing God so clearly is a time that I would fast and pray. So what's our why? What's our purpose? Remember, our purpose cannot be just out of obligation. It can't be out of I'm required. It can't be out of somebody telling you. It has to be because God has put on your heart, as Brother Fred said last Sunday, that this one will only come out through prayer and fasting. It has to be that the Lord is speaking to you and calling you to a time of prayer and fasting. And it has to be because of the brokenness over our sin in our lives and the brokenness of what's going on in our nation that we would fall before God making our request. So what are we to do? I believe that the first thing that we need to do is have brokenness. In the book of James chapter 4 verses 8 and 10 it says this. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And then it says, humble yourself in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. Can you go back to verse 9 for me? It says, be miserable, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to gloom. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the sin. May we fall on our face in brokenness and truly mourn. Listen, I'm not ashamed to tell you I'm a crier. I'm not ashamed of it. I told the student last night who was just broken. I'm not ashamed to let you know that when God is dealing with me, man, there's a lot of times that the waterworks are going. Because all I can think about is that he's a holy God. And that he loved me that much. That even when he's walking me through a time of pruning, he's saying, I love you, David. I don't like pruning because it's painful. But I'm so joyful that my God would take me through that time in order for me to become more like him. That's hard to say. But it's so real that we must get to a place of brokenness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I understand some people think that scripture is talking about whether you're mourning over something that's happened. But listen, I think it ultimately goes back to that we are mourning over the state and the condition that we're in, but we're going to be comforted. Why? Because the blood of the Lamb has paid it all. Like, we have to get back down to the place where we say, Lord, I am a wretched person, but praise God, by the blood of the Lamb, I've been washed white as snow. So we must start with brokenness. But then we must ask the Lord to show us specifically what we're praying for, the type of fast that we are to fast, and the duration of the fast. Now remember, the purpose is brokenness, breakthrough, and wisdom in our life. And it's not out of obligation, as I said. It's not out of guilt. It's not out of trying to prove yourself spiritually. And so as the Lord leads, and I'll show you on the back of your little sheet of paper here, we have different types of examples of fast. Listen, this is not an all-in-one inclusive put together. I mean, this is just things that the Lord could show you. For some, he may call you to a full fast, to remove all food but water for a certain amount of days. He may call you to a Daniel fast, fruits and vegetables for a certain amount of days. He may call you to a partial fast. It says it can be a day or a week or a certain meal of the day or a time frame during this period. This type of fast is most common, and God will give you the parameters before you begin. God may be saying, hey, I want you to fast lunch on Tuesdays or fast Tuesday or for the next 21 days, which would be 3 days. God may be calling you to fast lunch every day for 21 days. I'm not telling you what that is. I'm just giving you understanding and example. Now, all throughout the scripture, when I look at fasting, it's talking about food, but I also understand that there are those who cannot remove food in their life for certain reasons. And we must have wisdom and understand that there's some people without professional supervision, because of their medical condition, aren't able. But there's other ways that you can remove things in your life to be devoted to the Word of God and prayer. And that's what it talks about here about a soul fast. There's things that you can remove in your life being devoted to the Word of God. Listen, let's just be honest. There's some students, there's some young people out here, maybe even older than just students, who are going to spend more time in the Word if they fast social media than food. I mean, I'm just being honest. I shared last night, I said too many students are more focused on the best perfect tweet or the best perfect picture for Instagram or the book of faces, I think it's called Facebook. Like, they're more concerned about all of these things and they spend all their time, I got to get the right, just perfect comment for this. And God's saying, why don't you live for an audience of one? That's what the Bible says. Listen, I'm not trying to be legalistic about a type of fast that you're supposed to take. I'm not going to tell you what that is. And I don't want you to feel guilty over the fact that, man, listen, David, like, I have to take medicine to live, and that medicine requires food. And if you're sitting there feeling condemnation and guilt over that, I'm telling you, that ain't coming from us. We gotta hear from the Lord, and you've got to say, God, I'm gonna replace what I'm hungering for to feast on the Word of God. But we also have to figure out the duration of the fast. Our pastor has given us parameters of 21 days that we are in a corporate fast. Right? He's given us that parameters, but he has told us that within those 21 days, the Lord may lead you to a day, the Lord may lead you to 5 days, the Lord may lead you to a certain hour a day, the Lord may lead you from sun up to sundown, he may lead you to a certain particular type of food, he may lead you to 21 days. There's been nothing said that, hey, this is it. We're supposed to go 3 days without food or 21 days with doing this. We have to know, the Lord has to speak to each of you what that duration is. And can I just be just real in the fact that you need to know what that duration is before you start? Let me tell you why. You get 3 days in. You don't have a specific number of days. You get a little hungry. You start thinking, maybe it's today. Maybe today was when I was supposed to end. What I'm saying is that it's real easy to stop in the middle of it if you don't know the duration before you start it. I mean, if I was running the Ironman and didn't know where the finish line was, I would have given up a whole lot longer if I didn't know how much further I had to run. And by the way, as the Ironman example, I didn't do the Ironman overnight. I spent 11 months, 20 hours a week of training every week to be able to go forward and do that. So please, outside of the Lord giving you an audible word, don't sit here and if you've never fasted before, say, well, I'm gonna jump into it all the way over here. Hear what the Lord of God, what God is speaking. Because it's ultimately about our brokenness before God. It's us falling on our face before God. It's us bringing the Word of God into our life even more clearly to hear His voice and to hear Him speak. So we must know what that duration is. And let me say one other thing, because I want to make sure that you hear all of this. Not only do we need to know the type of fast, the what we're praying for specifically, the type of fast, the duration of the fast, but the last thing we need to do is talk about it. Now, we're talking about fasting right now. Let me explain that to you for a second. When I first brought fasting into my life, it was almost awkward when somebody asked me to go to lunch. I was like, oh, I can't. Okay. And then I'm sitting here like, well, there's a reason why I can't. I didn't ask that. Well, though, there's a reason. Like, I'm sorry. I can't explain it to you. I can't talk about it. Like, I'm so sorry. I mean, just straight up awkwardness. And the Lord put on my heart and showed me, David, it's okay for you to tell somebody if they're trying to take you to lunch or whatever. It's okay for you to say, hey, I'm in a time of fasting. But that's it. If I start to go into the details, if I start to go into, yeah, I'm on day 42. If I start to go into all the details of it, at that moment, I'm taking them into information that they don't need to know that's really between God and I. And let me bring this home a little bit better. I'm going to use Mel as an example. So if Mel was up here, I came up to Mel and I said, hey, Mel, God spoke to him, God spoke to me about what we're supposed to do, and it's different, okay? Let's say that I'm fasting for 14 straight days with no food, and Mel's fasting for 14 days just lunch, and I were to walk up to him and I say, hey, Mel, how's it going, man? How's your fast going? Which is something that really is not appropriate for me to ask. Let me say it again. It's not appropriate for me to, man, how's that fast going? And he said, well, I'm fasting, I'm good, I'm 7 days in, I'm doing lunch. And I say, yeah, I'm 7 days in, I haven't eaten at all. What did I just do to Mel? What did I just do to him? I basically was like, yeah, I'm one-upping him. And that's the reason why what God tells you and speaks to you should be between you and God. It's okay for you to say that I'm in a time of fasting. But if you begin to try to walk around with this badge, hey, I'm on the Daniel fast. We're going to Panera today because they got salads. We missed it. It's not about proving your spirituality. It's about brokenness before God. One of my dear friends tells me all the time, he says, when I fast before God, I literally brush my teeth every day because I feel like God's that close and I don't want him to smell my breath. He said, I hear God that close to me. He didn't say to me, hey, David, this is what I'm doing. Here's the fast I'm on. It's okay for us to share the breakthroughs that are happening in our lives due to fasting. Listen, I was in a time of prayer and fasting, and this breakthrough happened in my life. That's okay. But when you say, yeah, I went on this long and this and this and this and that and this and this and this and that, then you've missed it because now you're focused on what you did instead of what God has done through you. I think y'all got that. So the last thing I want to show you tonight or today is this. It may get to tonight by the time I finish. Is that we also have to replace what we're doing with the Word of God. I've shared that 100 times today. Let's just go back real quickly through Nehemiah's prayer. We've got to acknowledge God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. You are God, we are not. You are the great I am, O Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down the same, you are the Lord God. There is none beside you. Isaiah 45 verse 6 and verse 7. Praise God, you are the King of Kings. And then we must go into a time, Lord, hear our cry and our confession. Are you willing to pray? Psalms 139, search me and know me, O Lord, and show me anything in my life that would prevent you from hearing my voice. Are you willing to say, God, anything in my life that is preventing you from hearing my voice, God, show me, O Lord. And let me tell you something, he's going to show you. Oh yeah. Don't pray that prayer unless you're ready to be shown. Because he's going to show you. And then confession. We confess our sin. And man, this is so beautiful. Psalms 51, verses 14 through 17. It says, deliver me from my blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing your righteousness. In verse 15, O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. In verse 16, for you do not delight in a sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You're not pleased with a burnt offering. But here it is. The sacrifice of God or a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. I mean, it's not about, God, here's all that I'm doing and here's everything. No, it's on our face before a holy God saying, you are God and I am not. And Lord, thank you for the blood of the Lamb, for Jesus Christ. In 1 Samuel, I won't flip there just due to time, but in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel says the same thing to Saul. He said, listen, behold, to obey is better than a sacrifice. He's saying it's not about the sacrifice. It's about a brokenness before our God. But then listen, so we acknowledge that he's God. He hears our cry and our confession. But then we stand on his word. Oh yeah. I couldn't end without going here. We stand on the word of God. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, when we're confessing our sins before God, let me just tell you something. We stand on the word and he says, hey, I'm faithful to forgive you. Earlier, I shared the gospel and I said, listen, that Jesus Christ has paid the price for us. He is faithful to forgive you of your sins when you give him your life, when you lay your life down before the throne. There's a scripture that many of us quote all the time, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Oh, we're going to stand on the promise. It says, and my people, us, he's not saying when the nation goes and confesses their sin. It says, when my people who are called by my name and they humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He's saying, hey, corporate fast, talking about the body of believers. When my people, when you, when we come together and fall on our face and confess our sins and the sins of the nation, there's a promise. He says, then I will hear from heaven and get this, and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. You think that our nation's going in the wrong direction? God's not sitting there saying, hey, that yes, they need to be on their face before a holy God, but he's saying right here that we need to come to a time of brokenness over our nation. We've got to come to a time of brokenness over our sin. And we as the body of Christ must fall on our face before him and cry out to God, and he will hear and forgive and he will heal our land. It starts with us, body of believers. It starts with us. And then last, you make your request known to God. Whether I'm praying for breakthrough, whether I'm praying for wisdom, but it's after we've stood on the word of God. It's after we've acknowledged him as God. It's after we've confessed the sins of this nation, the sins in our lives and of our household. I want to close with this. Let me just remind you again that the Lord has to show you what it is that you're going to fast. He has to show you the duration. It's okay to tell people you're in a time of fasting, but don't go and just share all the details. If there's brokenness in your life, if God's breaking through some things, I mean, we share that and we rejoice in that. But we simply say, during this time of fasting and praying, this is what's happened. And we rejoice as the body of believers. And I believe that the Lord over the next 7 days will show you as you cry out to God, as you seek his face, he will speak to you and show you. And remember, there's some who it may be something outside of food because of physical, medical reasons that you're not able to. And don't feel guilty over that. And I want to close with Psalms 34. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read pieces of it. I don't know about y'all, but this is going to be my psalm. This is going to be my psalm during this next 21 days. It says this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Oh, look at verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from my fear. If you go over to verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And down in verse 18, it says this: the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Is that not what everything that was just preached in Nehemiah? Acknowledge that he's Lord. Confess our sins. Stand on the word. Taste and see that he is good. And the Lord will hear and answer you. He'll answer me.